another episode of Auburn Unleashed. I'm your host, Adam Clayton, here joined again by what started as a special guest host, Jim Patton, and has become a permanent fixture on this show. We had such a positive feedback from our two last guests, Dusty Miller and Andy Saucer from College and Magnolia website. We've invited them back again for a second week. They broke down recruiting for us last week and did an excellent job. We were just talking beforehand some of the things we're going to go over in this show, and it was pointed out, Jim, did you wear a leather football helmet?
I am the old geezer here in the bunch. And, my face looks like we didn't have face masks, but we did. But, boy, it's good to have Andy and Dusty back. You know, they don't just know football. They know everything about Auburn sports. And our baseball season's about to start. And I believe Dusty writes a lot of baseball on their blog. What's Auburn baseball looking like this year?
And just to be fair, we know that Jim has put you on the spot for this. So we might have you back one day to do a more in-depth show.
No, that's perfectly fine. So far, they've started out pretty good. Started out 4-0 in the opening series against Maine. Black Bears, not the Rebel Black Bears, but the real Black Bears. They first game had a little difficulty getting the offense started right away. But they came out, picked it up midway through the game. Bullpen shut them down. Bullpen looked great all weekend. It's one of the things where going into the season was a big question mark with so many new arms on the team. You know, pitching-wise, bullpen was going to be a question. They needed an established closer. They needed some mid-relief guys. But the bullpen looked great all weekend. I believe, looking back, don't get on me too bad if I don't have the number exactly right, but I believe the ERA for the weekend of the bullpen was a 1.75, which is pretty good. That's great. Last year we had some issues with late inning collapses. That sixth and seventh inning would kill us last year. But they looked good. We've got a lot of new talent. They signed a good recruiting class last year. Of course, they lost David Dahl to the major league draft, and he'll be a fast riser through the minor league system with the Colorado Rockies. But a couple of guys that contributed right away, what's the leadoff guy's name? Jordan, not Jordan. I can't even think of his name. You'll have to cut that
out. We got a good leadoff.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of the guys that will contribute right away, you'll notice, are Sam Gillikin. He's the starting right fielder, and he started off with on Friday night making a spectacular catch, taking away a home run, and probably helped to seal the game for that one. The other one is going to be Sam Ebert. He played second base in the Sunday game and looked pretty good doing so. So those guys will contribute right away. Third baseman made a big impact. He's a new guy out of JUCO, Demek Tomsha, and he hit a walk-off home run to close out the Friday game. So things are looking good at the beginning of the season.
That's good. And Jim, Dusty apparently thinks that we cut things from our show. he couldn't remember that player's name.
Yeah, yeah.
And he thinks that we cut. Like this is a pre-recorded, edited show.
I mean, you know, he's young and he's
old. Nothing gets cut from this show.
Yeah, sorry. That one too many concussions when I was younger.
What
at least it wasn't a leather football helmet.
Hey, I'm trying to have a real show.
One too many fastball to the head. Yeah.
What did the experts, so-called experts, what are they picking the Auburn baseball team this year in the SEC?
Dead last. Well, okay.
Dead last in the West.
Dead last in the Western Division. Next to last in the entire SEC, thank goodness for Missouri.
Hope springs eternal.
It's going to be one of those things. If pitching comes around, there's just a lot of question marks going into the season. If pitching comes around, this team could surprise. We returned most of the offensive players from a team that led the league in hitting last year. So if the pitching comes around.
Now wait a minute, Dusty. Are you saying we get to play an offense and a defense in baseball? I don't know anything about baseball.
You try. You try. It's one of those tricky things that you call it strategy. And I don't, you know, you can get into and argue the points of whether last year's strategy was effective or not. So hopefully this year they can work on that a little bit.
When does the SEC season start in baseball approximately?
You've got probably a month of.
I think it's 4 to 6 weeks of non-conference play, and then you head into conference play, and the SEC is stacked with excellent teams, and it's been one of the top leagues in the past.
I'd say the only league that's tougher than SEC football is SEC baseball. So
yeah, it's stacked.
Now I believe the Auburn facility is really good. Is it still considered like a really good facility as far as the baseball park?
From a fan perspective, I think it's one of the top facilities at least in the league. Alex Box Stadium at LSU is a fan favorite. It's a really nice stadium. South Carolina has a really nice facility. But Auburn's right there with them. The attendance may not be as high. It doesn't hold as many people as some of the bigger stadiums across the conference, but it's got some unique flavor to it with the Munster out in left field and the little cutout corner between left and left center gap. So it's got some unique flavor to it.
Well, Andy, you do some writing for your blog that when trouble starts and NCAA infractions and that type of thing. How did you get into writing about that?
Well, whenever we all came together to start doing this independently before we got on with SB Nation, we just sort of sat down and created a roadmap and looked at everybody's natural skill set, and mine just sort of fit in with the legal profile. And I said if anybody gets arrested or if there's any NCAA problems out there with any of our teams or coaches or administration or anything like that, then I would write about that. And so that was just a natural fit.
What if you'd have had an Alabama blog going, you'd have got writer's cramp this last week, wouldn't you?
That's exactly right. All the deer antler stuff going on out there and, all kinds of questionable things. But we'll not talk about that at this point.
Yeah, we have to, publicly for this show, we have to love our teammates on the other side of the state.
That's right. That's right.
You do.
That's right. But, I've had some interesting posts over the past year. I had to write a post about the point-shaving situation on the basketball team last season. And then whenever our starting center, Reese Dismukes, got arrested at the beginning of the football season, that he was subsequently suspended for the Clemson game, that was tough to write about. And, of course, there's always the the beating of the war drums from the other side of the state that the NCAA is always on campus at Auburn looking and sniffing around, everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop, but, it's just nice to not have to write about those kind of things because those things simply aren't true. So
we're still waiting on Danny Sheridan to name the bagman.
That's right. Yeah, he's still trying to figure out who the bagman is, and we're still waiting on him to.
Well, you're talking about people saying that, it's always going to fall. Back during the bagman controversy, it seemed like every day my law partner would stop by my office and he would just shake his head and say, "It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad." It never was bad, so we'll get through anything that's going on, I'm sure.
Well, did you have to write anything about the tumor-cornered trees when all that happened?
Well, I have not written anything personally about the legal affairs that's been going on with Harvey Updike, simply because it's just a little too incendiary for me. And but we did have a really great post about 2 or 3 weeks ago by one of our contributors named Kevin Ives, who also writes for the he also covers the baseball program.
He's our main baseball contributor.
He's our main baseball contributor, and he wrote a really great post about saying goodbye to the tumorous trees, and it was really touching. It's actually probably it was the most heavily trafficked post that we've ever had. It had over, I think to date, it's had over 13 or 14,000 hits. So if you want to go to the website, 20,000?
Almost
20,000 hits. So if you want to go onto the website and check it out, it's really touching.
Did have y'all heard anything about them remodeling, I don't guess that's the right word, the Tumors Corner area or anything? Have y'all heard anything about that?
Well, yeah, there's been a committee set up to redesign the corner, and they've narrowed it down to 4 different design options. And they sent out an email and an internet poll to boosters and alumni, and they wanted to get the fan and alumni vote in there to see which was going to be the most popular design. And there are 2 or 3 of them look very, very nice, and it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with all that, because after the spring game for the football program. There's going to be a ceremonial last rolling of the trees, and after that, within the next 2 weeks after that, they're going to go ahead and take them up and start the reclamation process and taking out the soil, and I'm going to go ahead and start to redevelop that corner, I think.
And Andy, do any of the plans that you've seen, do they include replanting trees? And
yes.
And if so, you know, as beautiful as they are, live oaks, I don't know if it's the most appropriate tree to replant.
No.
Given their root structure and the limited nature of land available there, given colleges and Magnolia are bordering there and the sidewalks and everything.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to be using live oaks again. It was sort of a small miracle that they even survived this far north, because they're more of a coastal type tree. And they're going to use, I think. It's a different type of oak tree, but it's a bigger, hardier version. And like 2 or 3 of the designs, they're going to have that we're going to frame either two or three large oaks on the corner. And those designs that incorporate 3 would triangulate the corner, where you would have 2 trees set further back, 2 larger trees set further back, and then a third one that's in the center that goes back towards Sanford Hall. And that would sort of frame the corner, and then it would naturally then flow into Sanford Park right there. And it's going to be, I hope that the one that they choose is going to be the one that's going to be the prettiest one, and it's going to be able to frame the entrance way, the gateway to the university as you leave the town and then go into the university. So it's going to be interesting to see how they develop it.
Well, y'all don't tell Harvey Updike this, but my wife's maiden name was Live Oak. By the way,
we'll keep that between us.
Enough of all this talk. What about the spring football game coming up? What do y'all think about it? Let's get back to football. we killed a little time here on this program. Now, what about the spring football game? What do y'all think? What do you think is going to happen? What are we going to see?
It should be a pretty seamless process transitioning back to Malzahn's offense. He's only been gone a year, and as you saw last season, the failed experiment moving away and trying to get back to the pro style was pretty dismal. But it should be a seamless process. Most of the players that are on campus now that will go through spring practice are familiar with Malzahn's offense. They know the language, or they were recruited, as Kyle Frazier's case, specifically to play in his offense. So it should be pretty seamless to the offense. The one thing that I'll be interested to see most will be the defense, the change to the 4-2-5, and how that works out. Our defense has not been traditional Auburn defense for several years now. So I'm looking forward to hopefully getting back to that dominating, swarming attacking style of defense, and I think Ellis Johnson has plans to get it back to that. So.
And guys, you follow recruiting, obviously. Your previous show, we had so many good comments from it. Damian Craig, it is my understanding that he is understated and could possibly be one of the best recruiters in the country.
Yeah, he's a superstar, absolute superstar. But, I mean, that's not to sell anybody else, or any of the other coaches on this staff short. This is a staff built around superstars. These guys are rock stars in recruiting. And you can't sell any of them short. I think there were 7 of the 9 assistant coaches were at one time recruiting coordinators on other staffs. So they know their way around a living room trying to make a sale. And Damian Craig may be the front runner. He's the guy that everybody knows. He's the guy that's going to get Auburn back into the Mobile area. He's got the connections down there to fight and get Auburn back into that Mobile area that is so rich in talent in this state. So the other name is Rodney Garner. Everybody knows Rodney Garner. Mentioned back, Georgia fans were pretty ticked off, and everybody else is pretty ticked off, calling him the new bag man after Trooper Taylor left. But
it's kind of funny how that happens whenever he leaves their team, but they need to remember he was at Auburn first before he was ever at Georgia. So,
but he's another guy that is an absolute superstar, and with recruiting, they're not just superstar recruiters either. They're really good coaches. Damian Craig is an up and comer, a young coach that's making his name. He's made his name as a recruiter, but he's a really good coach as well.
And sorry if my co-host was a little bit distracting when he was opening what we will just call a Coke in the background there. But
sorry, I wish he would open mine.
Do you guys, here's some of the hard questions coming out now. Do you believe that we ever saw Malzahn's offense totally unleashed, or do you think he was held back?
No, I don't think we ever saw it. You can look at his stints at Tulsa. You can look at it at last season at Arkansas State. You might have seen it for a stretch, a 3 or 4 game stretch, in the middle of the 2010 season. But as far as just completely being unleashed and allowed to do everything at the speed that he wants to do it and how he wants to do things and run things, I don't think so.
I'm going to go ahead and give the coach a plug on this one. I went back whenever he was hired on as the head coach. I didn't do this whenever he was the offensive coordinator, but I went on to Amazon and I found he has a book. It's called the Hurry Up, No Huddle Offensive Philosophy. And I went and bought it off of Amazon. I went back and read it. And, of course, he wrote it back in, like, 2002 or 2003. And if he keeps some of the core tenets of the philosophy in place, there's no way that we saw his offense at 100% at any time that he was at Auburn as an offensive coordinator. And I'm really, really excited to see what he can do. Especially with the young offensive coordinator, Rhett Lashley, who is one of his high school quarterbacks in Arkansas. just to give you an example, Rhett Lashley still holds, I think, the Arkansas State single-game passing yardage record at like 794 yards in a single game. And, you know, that kind of stat is just mind-boggling. And I know that, you know, you're playing against inferior defenses in high school. It's a completely different element. But if you can translate that over into college and have that kind of success in the SEC, it's going to be spectacular. And I think that Malzahn is finally excited to get his keys to the Ferrari that he's always wanted and do what he wants to do. So I think that Auburn fans are going to be happy with the results. At least I hope that we are.
As long as he doesn't give the Ferrari to some real hot recruit, we'll be all right.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
But then, Andy, you have a story to write about.
yep, one thing begets the other.
Well, I do think, I think Malzahn will play by the rules because I think he's a good enough coach that he can take some players that maybe aren't as good as some of the others and win anyway by his system and philosophy and his hard work. And I think he's hard-nosed even with that philosophy. And yet we're getting the players that are as good as the other people. So I think Auburn's in for some good times. Do y'all agree with that?
I think Auburn, Gus's offense will sell itself to recruits. Now you saw that with this past season with the wide receiver class that we signed. I mean, recruits, when they look back, and Gus has been showing them, you know, film of some of his days at Arkansas State and what he does, you know, and maybe a few highlights of the 2010 season. But he's showing them that he gets the ball to the playmakers. So, you know, wide receivers are going to want to come and play in his system because he knows that they're going to get him the ball. And they're going to be able to make plays in space. Running backs, Auburn sells itself with running backs. Auburn is running back and I don't think that's going to change. You know, Gus is going to run the ball. He just needs somebody to carry the rock. So, but we'll get back to scoring some points, and Gus will be a big part of that.
Guys, we appreciate you being on tonight. Great job with the show last week. I think a lot of people are interested in what you have to say about not only football but the other sports and just everything going on in Auburn. Andy, we appreciate your comments about the Tumors Trees, and we'd like to have you come back on in the future and talk about that project as it materializes. And Dicey, anytime you want to come back on and talk about baseball, basketball, anything of that nature, we certainly love to have you.
Synchronized swimming, do we have that? Do we have synchronized swimming at all?
We have a world-class swimming and diving program.
We really do have that.
I think the swimming and diving team at Auburn has won the last 18 SEC championship. They're going to go for their 19th in the next couple of weeks, I think.
We'll cover a little bit of swimming and diving. Do a little bit of the gymnastics team, some of the other Olympic sports. Can find some resources down there. We'll cover tennis and equestrian as well. Whatever the fans want to hear about.
And I suppose you could come back and talk to us about recruiting next year.
Absolutely.
And just give us a call.
Guys, we appreciate you being on here, and we'd invite all of our listeners to check out your blog on www.collegeandmagnolia.com. Put that link up on our Facebook and our Twitter accounts. Jim, appreciate you being here with us again this week.
Thank you, Adam, and thank you, fine young men, for coming on here and bringing a little intelligence and class to this show.
And guys, we'd like to invite all of our listeners to check out the other shows on Big Brains Media. Go to www.bigbrainsmedia.com. Many good shows there covering anything from world politics.
There's a lot of good shows, and then there's that Alabama show on there too.
That Steve Sample show that you know, we can't talk too bad about it because it's my understanding Steve has been promoting us pretty hard over there. So
I love Steve Sample. He's really got a good show. If he
really does. Well, guys, thank you for being here, and all of our listeners, good night, and we will see you again next week.